Russia is sending four warships and a nuclear submarine to Cuba for military exercises. This is where we are at. Germany unveils a 67-page document preparing their population for World War III. On the same day, Emmanuel Macron and Joe Biden reiterate and double down and triple down on their commitment to providing Ukraine weapons to target within 200 miles of Russian territory, where, of course, within that 200-mile range, you will find nuclear power plants, strategic facilities, likely nuclear weapons, military bases, command and control centers, millions of civilians, as well as hundreds of thousands of soldiers. The situation is getting hot. We need to go over the German war plans today. I've never read such a forbidding document, at least not since the Latvian document that was very similar that we reviewed a couple weeks ago that goes into great depth about how they're preparing their population for all-out nuclear war. This is not your cartoony Mickey Mouse Disneyland war prep that you're going to get in the far west, like they're pumping out in UK, the whole 3 days thing. No, this is how to navigate a post-SHTF environment. In fact, there's a lot of useful information in the Latvian one that we went over a couple weeks ago. The German one is far more inauspicious in terms of how they plan to manage the population. Get a load of this and take note that the primary overarching theme of this is that in the event of war, Germans must be prepared to help themselves first, with the state recognizing it will not have the resources to offer help to everyone at once. Essentially, what they're saying is that we are going to expropriate your stuff and your human labor at will, and you are going to be on your own to deal with any disaster whatsoever. In fact, we are going to put the burden of helping others onto you. And that is clearly stated in the 67-page document. Vladimir Putin today, before we get into the details of this, and we really need to break that down, and you guys need to stick with me because I'm going to break it down in detail. Vladimir Putin has said that NATO's accusations that they are going to attack NATO countries is bullshit, that Russia has imperialist aspirations is quote-unquote bullshit. He actually used a curse word, which is something I don't think I've ever seen him do. Maybe I've seen him do it once. But this is a sign that Vladimir Putin is becoming aggravated and is becoming agitated enough to break face and use unstatesmanlike language from the Russian point of view, which you seldom hear, because the Russians, they're consummate professionals. They very seldom will go off script. And for him to go off script like that means that we're getting very, very close to that perilous moment. Now, we got a lot of other news to cover in detail, but I want to get to this German war thing. And I wanted to state that because you're starting to see Emmanuel Macron come out, provide fighter jets, say that you can attack Russia at will. We're starting to see the war in Lebanon and Israel heat up. And now Germany comes out with these war plans. They just, you know, throw it out there. They've been ramping it up. This is a surreptitious, insidious, incremental exposition of what the plan is going to be. I'm sorry to be so pretentious today, but I'm just having a lot of adjectives come to mind. German cabinet approval. The German cabinet has approved a 67-page emergency plan outlining measures for organizing the country during wartime, detailing comprehensive defense guidelines. This is the first time in decades that Germany has mentioned that they are currently under threat. Now, I must reiterate that Vladimir Putin has said that he is not a threat. And quite frankly, how could he be? He can barely get Ukraine under wraps with the troops that he has. So how is he going to pose a threat to Germany? Well, here's what they're preparing for, folks. They're preparing for nuclear war under the guise of preparing for a conventional war. The 300,000-strong force that they were talking about and building out the five corridors that the United States was going to swoop in and come to the aid of Europe, that is for after the nuclear bombs drop, I am convinced, because there is no reality that Russia is going to have the capacity to fight a conventional war with NATO. Vladimir Putin has said as much. And thus, if they're talking about a war between NATO and Russia, they're talking about a nuclear one, or in the very least, a limited tactical nuclear one. The Chancellor's powers will, of course, be consolidated under his office and will be increased, including control and defense authority, consolidation of power, centralization of power in times of martial law and full-blown war mobilization. Specific measures include the storage of energy and food, establishment of shelters, and obligating media to broadcast government announcements and warnings immediately. Emphasis on obligated, to inform the public. So the media is basically going to be the government's bitch, if it's not already. Typically, they ride in tandem. And they're going to be there to relay whatever messages or disinformation or misinformation the government decides to perplex people with in order to keep everybody in a state of relative calm so that the military can move around and maintain continuity of government. Civilian protection and shelters, experts from the Ministry of Interior, the Civil Protection and Defense Relief Agency, as well as the Real Estate Agency, were discussing the best ways to protect citizens during wartime. Unlike World War II, they claim, modern precision weapons require different shelter strategies, and large public shelters are now deemed ineffective. Well, how convenient. And it's because later in the document, they go on to say, well, we just don't have the money and everybody's on their own. And you, in fact, have to build your own shelter. So we're just going to say that large public shelters are ineffective. Why would large shelters be ineffective if we're just talking about conventional warfare? Of course they would be. In fact, they would be far more effective because usually the government would be able to muster the material and resources to dig deep enough. If anything is going to be ineffective, it is likely going to be individual shelters. But I digress. Let's go on. Recommendations include home shelters such as cellars and below ground rooms with options for shielding walls and covering windows. Emphasis on shielding. Of course, they're not going to come out right and say radioactive shielding. They're just talking about shielding. They just wanted to throw the word in there. They have to do this surreptitiously so they don't run the risk of triggering a panic. They're already going to do that, though. You're going to see a massive prepping industry unfold in Europe. And, you know, props to anybody who's been paying attention to where this has been going and who's gotten ahead of the curve before prices have skyrocketed. Conscription. Wartime measures would impose outright bans on people quitting their jobs in key sectors, forcing the media to publish updates and order companies to only produce goods for defensive purposes. So they're basically going to come in, expropriate all your stuff and your labor, and they're going to go into companies and say, you now have to produce what we say you need to produce for the purpose of total warfare. A lot of this is likely going to come into play after the nukes drop, because that's what a lot of this is really conducive to. Of course, Ukraine is the blueprint, and that is already happening there. But you can really imagine how this would be imposed post-SHTF. The plan acknowledges private companies may have to make their vehicles and IT infrastructure available to the Bundeswehr if required for the war effort. Doctors, psychologists, nurses, and veterinarians may also be repurposed. You gotta love that word. They're just gonna repurpose you. You're being repurposed to Quadrant Z. Maybe not Quadrant Z. Maybe, Quadrant X. In military and civil service roles. Shockingly, compulsory service for conscripts will be reinstated in the event of war, allowing citizens to be drafted at any time. Allowing. You're allowed to be drafted. Isn't that interesting language? Wow. So basically they're saying that this is it. We now have imposed the draft without imposing it, because all we have to do is declare war and we can impose the draft. Now, this is likely already built into most national laws of most governments, I would presume, that there is some sort of a stipulation there that if you are in a state of war, that's when they can call up the draftees, the conscripts. I would presume, because that's what happened in the United States, although I'm sure there's a few different levels of government that have to agree in that instance. So I'm not sure how this factors in judicially to the German government legal framework, but they're basically saying that they can now enact compulsory service whenever war is declared or whenever they're in a state of war. And of course, that's a very ambiguous definition, I'm sure. Shelter sharing and self-protection. Experts suggest shelter sharing and emphasize the creation of self-protection spaces. They should have just said self-protection safe spaces. Though these offer limited protection against nuclear, biological, and chemical attacks, but you should share your shelter anyways. Make sure you share your shelter with your neighbors, who we've been telling don't prepare, or basically downplaying and vilifying and demonizing preppers for as long as we can remember. In urban areas, public buildings, department stores, underground garages, and tunnels can also serve as shelters. We've done several videos on different civilian infrastructure that you might find throughout your city. And one of those places is definitely, of course, the subway is the main one. But if you're like me and you live in a city where there is no subways, underground parkades and parking lots are built to be very, very tough. So something to consider. They have to support all the weight of those cars on top. Very heavy duty concrete, and likely, if you know, obviously nothing is withstanding a direct hit, but they might be something that could survive. The only problem might be if the building was buried on top of you, you might be screwed. But hey, at least you'll have a fighting chance. You know, Kim Jong-un, he puts bulldozers in his bunkers just in case he needs to dig himself out. Total defense guidelines. The report calls for a revision of civil protection concepts, noting that 2,000 public shelters, only 579 are currently operational. So of the 2,000 public shelters, and interestingly, that's around how many we have in Canada, too. Now, Canada, our population is half that of Germany, but I presume that it's because we are so spread out, and a lot of those are just makeshift shelters in underground basements of government buildings like post offices and police stations and things like that. So they're not, you know, full-on doomsday nuclear shelters, but they're retrofitted for that. Modern weapon accuracy means no shelter offers complete protection, but private cellars could be converted into shelters. Again, I go back to this idea. They're talking about conventional weapons and how that won't protect against large bunkers, basically absolving themselves of responsibility for people. However, in the same breath in the document, they claim that they might not offer complete protection. So I'm a little bit confused, but I think they're just hoping that a lot of people just, you know, glaze over this. And then when the bombs do drop, and if there ever is some kangaroo court erected post-collapse, they can say, well, we told you so. It's written right there in such and such page of the document, 67-page document. The estimated need is $140 billion and 210,000 shelters throughout the country. And isn't that interesting? Isn't there like 40, no, there's 70 million people in Germany? So when they say sharing, they ain't kidding. So plan for your neighbors too. If you want to trigger a prepper, tell him that he has to share his preps with his neighbors. Now, I'm not saying that I wouldn't, you know, depending on who my neighbors were, but to be forced to do anything like that, especially under those circumstances, when you know that they are not going to have the manpower to enforce that level of excessive rule of law? Well, we'll just leave it open-ended. Government food storage, the new defense plan for the economy and society. This was adapted. This whole thing was adapted, I should add, to a 1989 Total Defense Framework Directive. So they basically revised Cold War stuff here. And they say that wheat, rye, oats, calorie-dense staples with long shelf lives may be withheld in secret locations with emergency reserves in place to be able to feed the population with one hot meal per day for an undisclosed period of time. They should have got a better writer for this, for the modern snowflake generation, because when people read that, if anybody even reads it, I would take issue with the fact that they're only preparing to feed you one hot meal a day. Now, the average man working is going to require at least 3,000 calories a day to maintain body weight. Maybe, you know, 2,500, and you're going to get skinny, but you're not going to die, right, if you're doing work. Now, if you're doing, you know, physically excruciating work, and you are, you know, carrying a gun and hucking a rock, or you're just rebuilding, I mean, one square meal a day ain't going to do it, okay? So they're talking about rationing here, full-on ration books. This is full-on World War II stuff that they are just, you know, throwing out there like it ain't no thing. Responsibilities and coordination. Federal government responsible for military defense states handle civil defense implementation, including health care. Media and legal adjustments. This one is interesting. Federal government can instruct state governments and deploy federal police. Clear rules for mass media to inform the public about threats. So it lays out rules for informing the public about threats, that whole emergency broadcast system. Basically, whatever the government decides to tell the population in times of disaster is what goes, for the sake of continuity of government, of course, not just for the sake of maintaining the advantageous position of the elites. Terms of office and election periods can be adjusted to avoid elections during wartime. Ah, that's convenient, isn't it? Very similar to what is happening right now in Ukraine. States can intervene in the food chain to ensure supply for civilians and shelter and soldiers, including confiscating scarce food. I repeat, state can intervene in the food chain to ensure supply for civilians and soldiers, including the confiscation of scarce food. Now, this is somewhat paraphrased, because these are my notes that I'm paraphrasing. Some of it's quotes, some of it is paraphrased, so that's why that sounded a little confusing. But they're talking about confiscating scarce food. You know, I used to think, and I used to ridicule people for thinking that the government gave two shits about their 2 to 3 month food supply. Now I'm not so sure about that. Knowing how inept these guys are and how insane they are, as Vladimir Putin would say, and I would totally agree, because their assessment that Russia is on this imperialistic tear is asinine. Clearly, Russia invaded Ukraine. That is undeniable. The idea that they want to take over Europe is just fantasy. So if these are the same people who are behind every other blunder in the past 4 years, you got to think they would be dumb enough to try to attempt to steal preppers' supplies when the shit hits the fan. Wow. Reading this is... Imagine if I would have came out with this in 2022. How spooked people would be. Now nobody even cares. We're just used to it. We're just desensitized. Government stockpiling grains, legumes, and condensed milk for emergency preparedness. All good things to store. Don't get me wrong. They're right about one thing. Personal responsibility, they say. Well, now it's about personal responsibility. Remember before it was all about the nanny state, that you should forfeit and offload all of the responsibilities in your life to the nanny state because you are incompetent? Well, now it's all about personal responsibility when the shit hits the fan. Isn't it interesting that they take all of our guns away when times are good and when times are bad, that's when they put that gun back in our hand and they bestow upon us those rights, but only on the front lines. Emphasis on citizens' personal responsibility to stockpile supplies and assist neighbors as state-organized help. They're really going all out here. They're telling people to stockpile supplies. None of this 72-hour bullshit anymore. They're telling people to prep. Your government, Germany, they're telling you to prep. Now, I'm sure they're not broadcasting this on the mainstream networks. They're just surreptitiously putting this out there, releasing this so they can say they told you so, with the hopes that some people, the ones who are cluing in, the ones that are paying attention, maybe one in 10, are going to do this. And then they're probably going to develop some sort of registry to come and expropriate those people's stuff when the shit hits the fan, because they don't want to create a panic. I mean, they don't want to run on the banks, which could be coming, and they have a plan for that, which I'm going to talk about in just a moment. Germany lacks sufficient shelters compared to countries like Finland. Residents often unaware of their shelter locations. Focus on basic protection using solid building structures and underground facilities like car parks. Okay, we already talked about that. funding program launched for sirens and operational modular warning systems. So they're going to go back to analog, which is actually good, because the problem I have with a lot of these emergency alerts that you get on your phone, you know, the time may come when that's the first thing to go. And the only thing that is still going to possibly be functional are the air raid sirens, most of which have been taken down, I presume, in a lot of places. But I don't know Germany that well enough to know. I'm sure that there are fallout shelters around Europe, but a lot of them, of course, are defunct and decommissioned. Economy's role in emergencies, emphasis on the private sector's duty to provide basic goods and services, including energy supply and post-disaster repairs. The Federal Ministry of Finance can prioritize contracts within the private sector for necessary supplies while minimizing government intervention in the economy. Imagine saying that after you said all that. Wow. So the IDF called up another 50,000 reservists. What happened today on the Lebanese front? I mean, what didn't happen? Everything, you know, that you thought was going to happen is happening. They're going to war. They're going to war with Lebanon. Oil price is ticking upwards again. Usually when you see a precipitous bottoming out of any commodity and you don't know why, kind of like what gold did back in early October, it cratered out at around 1830, and since then it's been on a tear. I think that's exactly what we're going to see with oil, guys. So oil is creeping up once again. Hezbollah is now starting to use anti-aircraft systems. And remember, Vladimir Putin's chess move that he played yesterday was that they're going to start emboldening and empower countries who are adversarial to the West with their advanced weapon systems, possibly their anti-aircraft weapon systems. Now, because Russia plays this game of neutrality around the Israeli issue, I can't see them giving those to Lebanon. I can see them giving those to Yemen so that they target the United States warships and aircraft carriers, and that's going to be interesting to see. Either way, this situation is heating up. I mean, every single day there's another escalation. If you ain't preparing right now, you better get your head checked. Get your head checked. Get that work done while you still can. Well, there's still a functional MRI available. Dozens of emergency generators have been installed in public bomb shelters in Haifa. Wi-Fi service. Yeah, like you're going to be thinking about Wi-Fi when this shit really goes off. Set up in underground parking lots, used as protected spaces in case of missile assault. Isn't that interesting? From safe spaces to safe spaces. Late stage capitalism. The communist cameraman would be proud. In terms of the warships that are heading to the Caribbean, that are going to be doing these joint exercises with the Cuban Revolutionary Armed Forces, and don't think that this is not Putin trying to send a message. The United States just did two Minuteman missile tests back-to-back, something that is very uncommon. And it's common for them to do one, but they've done two. Now Russia is basically getting ready to replay Cuban Missile Crisis 2.0, it would appear. These carriers can carry Zircon missiles. They, of course, carry Caliber cruise missiles, but they can also carry the Zircon hypersonic cruise missiles. Essentially, what this is going to do is put the United States within, you know, minutes of striking distance from Russia. Now, arguably, if Russia already has nuclear submarines out at sea, this is already the case anyways, that there's nuclear submarines somewhere in the Atlantic or the Pacific Ocean that aren't too far. We've seen so many things happen recently. Remember the notice to airmen that was just off the coast of California? I mean, we forget all these things. Remember all the AWACS planes that have been getting shot down? Remember Ukraine targeting Russia's nuclear radars? And people are just sleepwalking, fast asleep, acting like nothing is going to happen. And you got this NVIDIA guy signing autographs like he's some kind of rock star. Well, everybody is consumed by this roaring kitty. I called him Hello Kitty the other day. Hello, what's his name? Hello Kitty, Hello Chicken. I can't remember what his name is. I'm getting old. That's evident. But just the fact that that is what's carrying the market. Some guy who's pumping money in an attempt to stick it to the man who now has a net worth of near $600 million, right? And it's all in a stock, which is like a dead stock. GameStop is dead. I mean, I know they're trying to make arguments that, no, we're still going to be profitable. And no, it's dead. It's like what Blockbuster was, you know, pre-Netflix. It's dead. And this is the company that it's poetic on so many levels that the last attempt of the revolution is through some company which is being edged out by new technology, by disruptive technology, and that we're leveraging that as an attempt to bring down the system and stick it to the man. I mean, how futile of a pursuit is that? Someone's going to write a book on this someday. Somebody who has access to all the information. Because just imagine that the internet was shut down post-World War III and all of our everything, you know, because we don't have a library of Alexandria anymore. There's not a lot of hard copies of books anymore. You know, the likelihood that a lot of information would be lost and there'd be a new dark age would be very high. And we would be rebuilding for many years, and there'd be a lot of stories that were created, a lot of fictions. I wonder what they'll say. I wonder what they'll write about us. I wonder what they'll write about the Canadian prepper. Maybe they'll, you know, resurrect these. They'll find these in some, you know, dust off some cloud server in some bunker somewhere. Maybe this will be the only information that survives, and they'll worship me as being, like, you know, the guy who predicted it all. That's not something I aspire to, but I do hope that people are listening to the message. Now, Biden didn't definitively say that the Ukrainians can use the weapon systems that they're providing within 200 miles, but he did say that we're not saying that you can use weapons, target them at Moscow, at the Kremlin, and 200 miles in. I think he just used that as an arbitrary number. He was having problems of his own, keeping his pants dry apparently today during the Veterans Day ceremonies. But I think what he is saying, though, is he's saying that the United States right now is allowing Ukraine to target deep into Russia. And deep, you know, in this context, it doesn't have to be that deep. Because within 100 miles of the Ukrainian border, there's a lot of strategic assets. So the Israeli president has threatened war on Hezbollah. Canada is imposing a 5% levy on streaming giants to fund what they call local content. Local content. Well, that's going to be local content that they deem fit, okay, that they designate as being worthy of getting this funding. So, of course, it's always going to be in line with whatever narrative that the government is trying to push. So they're going to take from the private sector, from the streamers, right, from the people who are like myself, and they're going to give that to the public sector, the news that nobody gives a shit about, quite frankly. It's dead, so they got to keep it alive. Now, here's the thought. For those of you who've stuck around, I got a very interesting hypothetical deposit to you. Let's just say, theoretically, war kicks off in the Middle East. Oil is going to go to its rightful levels above $150 a barrel, most likely, especially if Iran gets involved and that Strait of Hormuz gets closed. How is the powers that be going to prevent inflation from going high? Because, of course, that is inextricably linked with the price of oil. Inflation goes up, oil goes up. Oil goes up, inflation goes up. Okay? So if they want to keep the prices down and prevent the banks from crashing, preventing rates from having to stay where they are or go up, they have to keep the price of oil down. Oil goes to $150, the banking system will collapse. The financial system will collapse, and people won't be able to afford to eat. Now, how do you prevent that? Well, was there a time when this happened? I recall a time where oil entered negative territory, and I think it was the last pandemic. Just imagine for a second, bird flu goes rogue. WHO declares a pandemic once again, and the lockdowns are inbound. What do you think is going to happen to the price of oil? It is going to drop. Even if there is a war in the Middle East, the price of oil is going to crater. And how long? Depends on how long the lockdown is going to be. It could be a forever lockdown this time. I must remind people, and not enough attention is being paid, epidemiologist Catherine Wallace said that the case of H5N2 in Mexico is so crazy because we don't know where it came from. I repeat, it's so crazy that we don't know where this is coming from, because the guy, 59 years old, who died of it, who did have numerous pre-existing conditions, of course, died with or died of, we don't know yet. That's going to be an ongoing debate. I can already hear it now. All of this, of course, culminating around the same time as the elections, which is insane. Maybe that's why Elon Musk is loading up those starships with 5,000 tons of stuff. This guy died. He was bedridden for 3 weeks prior to becoming symptomatic. So he was in his house for 3 weeks, we presume. 17 family members who might have had contact with him showed no signs of infection. They were all tested. They showed no signs of infection unless they had it and got over it, which is possible. So far, this virus is 100% fatality rate. Now, why this is so important is because if he had it for 3 weeks, that means, or if he for 3 weeks was incapacitated and at home, that means this got into his house somehow. How did it get into his house? Well, it's not like a bird would have flew in through the window and took a crap in his house. What's more likely is that either somebody who was an asymptomatic carrier spread it to him, or we're not going to get conspiracy. I'm not going where you think I was going to go. I'm not going there. You guys can talk about that in the comment section. What I was going to say was that it's in the food, and for whatever reason, they weren't able to kill it when he cooked his food. Now, several cows have been killed, dozens of cows across multiple states, so this thing has already jumped the species barrier. It's already in the animal meat population, okay? So that means that we're going to see prices of beef and chicken start to go sky high. But what it also is concerning to know that perhaps this is being spread in some way. But just the fact that you have an epidemiologist saying that it's shocking that this is happening and we don't know where it's coming from is pretty concerning, to say the least. Again, I remind people that maybe one of their last-ditch contingency plans is going to be to release the Kraken. Release the Kraken, the price of oil crashes, the money printers go burr one last time, and it's game over. I would strongly encourage people to stock up on meat. I'm not one of these people who completely subscribe to the Agenda 2030. I think it's almost a self-fulfilling prophecy at this point. In many ways, we are just writing our own future, but there's definitely, you know, that's definitely where things are heading, whether it's by design or we're just stumbling into it, because you really could make arguments for both of those things. Regardless, if you don't want to eat bugs in the future, you might want to consider starting to stockpile stuff now. Because once they start having to cull things, and once they just start shutting down a lot of food facilities, and look how it's infecting the domestic food populations. That's where, like, this isn't killing wild birds like it used to. It's killing domesticated animals. So I would encourage you, stock up, freeze-dried wholesale, get it while you can. They got great prices, and you get 15% off for this stuff, okay? And this stuff will last, they say, 25 years. Realistically, it's going to last way longer than that. There's no oxygen, zero oxygen environment. They have a proprietary process of packaging as well as freeze-drying, so they do all kinds of stuff, all quality meats, okay? And when I told you guys a few weeks ago that I had information about insider information that I could not share about what people are doing to get ready for what's coming, I wasn't kidding. And we're on that path. We're on that path. And stay ready.